of the show. I'm curious every week what questions the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, is going to ask Rob Demosky, and I'll find out right now.
Rob, good evening. How are we doing?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm great. So before we get into specifics of games and certain things, what was your takeaway from the game? Positive, negative? What stood out to you? What was kind of your overall, you know, feeling walking out of the beautiful Soldier Field on Sunday?
I think the first thing I thought was, man, did they get lucky? Because, you know, so many things that they did either backfired or didn't work out, or they just didn't execute. And when you have a game like that and you still walk away with a win, and you know this as well as I do, there's a big difference in this league between 7-3 and 6-4, especially coming out of a bye. I think they got really lucky. Going back and rewatching the game today, it's just hard to believe that they only ran 43 offensive plays. Like, there just wasn't a lot to dissect. But, you know, when you can't sustain drives and the other team goes, what were they, 8 out of 13 or 8 out of 15 on third down, it's hard to keep anything going.
Yeah. So you you get to talk to LaFleur after, you know, the game, and what I thought I read something. You could divulge a little bit more on it, but what was the thought on the fourth down going for it? I saw something about a two or three percent decision on analytics.
Yeah.
What was the deal on that?
So he said today that he went back and checked with his analytics people just to see if, you know, if his thinking was right, and he said that they told him that it was not much of a difference going for it versus kicking the field goal in terms of win probability, but that it was a 2 or 3% better chance of winning if you go for it there. Now,
hold on, Rob, I got to interject here for a second because I want to know about analytics. How do you have that analytics with a team that's the worst in the league in the red zone against the defense that's the best? I question whether analytics takes those factors. If they don't, it's crap. Now, do they take into effect the?
Well, and that's my beef with all this crap, Homer, is that, like, there's this expected completion percentage or yards over expected. Well, who's throwing the football? Like, back in the day, they would say Aaron Rodgers threw a pass that had, 1.5% chance of being completed. Well, maybe with Aaron Rodgers throwing it, it had a 15% chance of it being completed. And with Sam Darnold, it had a 1%.
Well, ask the head coach at some point when you can as to whether that is a part of it. Because if it's not, then the numbers are garbage.
I've asked our analytics people that, and they basically look at me like I have three heads. So I don't know that they know the answer.
All right, sorry to interrupt. You two go back together.
No, that's okay. But his justification, I don't know, what was there, about 10, 11 minutes left in the game? His justification was that he didn't think there was going to be a lot of possessions. I get his explanation. I just don't know that I agree with it. And on the flip side, I mean, this is the guy who kicked the field goal in the NFC Championship game when he probably should have gone for it. So I don't know. I question the thought process there. The execution is what it is, but I question the thought process.
What do you blame their red zone inefficiency on? Like, they're ranked, what are they, 28th or 29th in red zone? What in your opinion, is holding them back in the red zone?
Well, I thought early in the year it was some penalties where they get in some, bad down and distances and get stuck behind the sticks. Yesterday, I thought it was play call and decision making. I mean, the first time down there, or the second time down there, you have second and one from the five, and you call a pass play? I mean, just run it. You got Josh Jacobs, who's playing pretty well, and, then they end up in a penalty situation. They're backed up a little bit, and it goes haywire. To me, that was a play calling issue. Like don't throw the ball on second one from the five. And then you get a penalty. I think it was did they get an ineligible man downfield on that play, if I'm not mistaken? Now all of a sudden it's backed up. So, like, at some point you just got to be.
Uh-oh.
And I think they'd have a little bit more success there.
Yeah. So now we kind of I'm going to move to the other side of the ball. Because I think it's something we've all talked about, and I'm kind of getting tired talking about it, but we have to talk about it. The pass rush, again, against a bad Bears offensive line was really not there until the last drive.
Right.
What does Halfley need to do now going forward to get a pass rush? Because we sent off Preston Smith because he wasn't able to do it. So now what?
Well, I feel like we talked about this on the pregame show, didn't we, Brian? And we didn't really have a whole lot of answers there either. The one thing the game told us was that they're going to use Brenton Cox just as much, if not more, than they're going to use Lucas Van Ness, which is incredible when you consider that Brenton Cox had gone the first 28 games of his NFL career as an inactive, every game last year and the first nine this year, and Lucas Van Ness is a first-round pick, and Brenton Cox is getting as many snaps and he was more effective. I asked LaFleur about that today, and he said, I think you're going to see more of Brenton Cox. Now, they did, when it did matter, on those first two plays of the last drive, they got after him. And then I went back and watched the third down play, and Kingsley Anagbari had Caleb Williams there on a sack on third down, and Williams sort of eluded him, and Anagbari jumped over him. But they could have legitimately had three sacks on those first three plays. Then it would have been fourth and a million, and they probably don't even get in position to try that field goal. So I think they got to look at what happened there and why they were effective. Now, why they were effective is probably because they knew that the Bears were going to pass. But, I just don't know. I just don't know if there's a solution to it this year. I just don't know that it's going to get a whole lot better. They're just going to have to find ways to get incrementally better and see if that's enough. But because I don't think there's any major change that they can make at this point. You know, 10 games into the season, you sort of are who you are.
Yeah, there's no magic fairy dust you're going to wave over it that's going to make it come to life. That's just what it is. I guess, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I look at it different. I would like to see, and it's not going to happen because of the depth we have interior-wise, I would like to see Van Ness rush over the guard. That's just me personally, but I'm not a football coach.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, but Brian, the thing is, okay, like when you play tackle and you saw guys move inside, like it had, you know, you had to think about it a little bit more, right? Like the other guys had to think, okay, what's this guy going to do to me when he's used to rushing on the outside? I remember a few years ago, I can't remember if it was when you were here or not, but like they would play three edge rushers and like Za'Darius Smith would line up inside, right? So like maybe they need to play, you know, Van Ness and on the inside and Gary and either Anagbari or Cox on the outside. Like maybe there's a way to get more than one edge rush or more than two edge rushers on the field in those situations. The problem with Van Ness yesterday, he got sucked in on some runs that he lost contain on too. So, I mean, the danger with him when they took him, and he's super talented, was that he didn't have a whole lot of, you know, experience. He didn't have a whole lot of snaps under his belt. You know, he was never a starter at Iowa. And maybe that's, you know, maybe we're seeing a little bit of that. The transition's going to take a little bit longer with him. I don't think it's a lost cause by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, they're going to have to find the right spot for him in order for him to be effective, because at this point, they haven't really found that yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. What have you heard about Jair?
I can help you guys on that. He's hurt. He's always hurt, and it's a flip of a coin every game as to whether or not he's going to play. That is Dr. True. I have no football expertise, but I follow this.
The problem, Homer, is that when you make him active and you put a guy like Robert Rochelle down and then you lose Jair, you know, midway through the second quarter, now you're down a guy, right? And that's the problem with not knowing, you know, if a guy can fully go. Now, they were going to limit his snaps anyway, and that LaFleur said today that midway through the second quarter, he just said, I can't go. And so now you've wasted one of your game day activations or active spots on a guy who's done midway through. And he did say, we asked him if that's going to have to impact whether to put him up next week or not, and LaFleur said, yeah, I mean, that's now they have to factor that in to whether they're sure he can go, and it's not just a trial, because you can't just throw a guy out there not knowing if he's going to get through because of that previous injury. I mean, you can obviously get re-injured, you could get hurt, but if it's the same injury that you started with and you can't get through the game, that's a real problem.
Yep. Do you think that this team, I mean, it's not that I think that this is who the Packers are. Like, what we saw yesterday, I don't think that that's who Green Bay is. Like, I don't think that that's who they are. But if that's – they can't get away continuing to play that way as this thing goes on, correct? Like, winning games like that, as Homer said, that's one in 100. That's one in 100 to block a field goal like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of fool's gold. But I still say – that this is a momentum game, and when you win a game like that, I think it creates some momentum going into the next week, and you realize that, you know, you kind of got lucky and you got away with one, and maybe you dial in and get a little sharper. I still think this is a good football team. I mean, they're going to win 11, 12 games minimum, right? I mean, they're already at 7, so that's going to position them for a run. You just got to dial in, you know, some of the things that we're talking about here, because you're gonna be in the tournament. Now it's a question of whether, you know, when you're there, you can eliminate some of the mistakes and some of the things that they did, because, I mean, they're in a pretty darn good position, even if they don't win the division, to make a run at this thing.
Absolutely. All right, we've run out of time. Who played best defensively?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Maybe Brenton Cox.
Okay.
Maybe he had a big impact.
All right. You're the doctor. You got a final quick one for Rob, Brian?
I got nothing. He answered everything I had questions on.
I'm not asking for your opinion. I think this is a good Bears team when Caleb Williams plays that well. Now, maybe he'll never do it again, but if you tell me Caleb Williams is going to play like that, I'll take the Bears to win 4 out of 10 games against the Packers. Am I crazy?
I like him. I came away impressed with him. I really did. Now, I don't know how much of that was the scheme change, but that throw he made where he teardropped it in on third down going to his left, I thought was a pretty darn good throw.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
Sorry I interrupted too much. Next.